Have your Bibles tonight. Draw your attention to Colossians chapter 3. How to change and repair those faults. I'm going to pause just a minute tonight. I'm both going to try to give you an example of change and a method to change, a way of change from Scripture. To be in His image. Now, tonight, if I were to take the Apostle Peter, I want you to help me. A flaw is something that ought not to be there. A flaw is something that taints the image. It messes up where the person is not respected fully. Where people see they're a good person but this. And the flaws can be changed when we come into His image. There are several problems with that. So I want to help you. We'll start off with Peter. Somebody name for me a flaw that Peter had. Now, I'm going to back up. In Mark chapter 1, it tells the story that Jesus healed his mother-in-law from a normal sickness. Now, I say a normal sickness. He goes, she's running a fever, and she's ill, and Jesus walks up to her and heals her. Now, that's in A.D. 30. Peter has just been called to follow the Lord. He hasn't walked on the water. Name for me some of the flaws of Peter before, right around the time after Jesus died. Name for me one flaw. Can anybody name me a flaw? Yes, sir. Andrew? What's that? He denied the Lord. Okay. So he didn't have a lot of faith. Okay. Can you name another flaw in his character? Can you name a flaw in his character? Anybody? You can help me. Yes. Pride. What's that?
Pride.
Had pride. The Bible says that if I were to give you one, pride, he said, look, we've done all these things for you, Lord. What's going to happen to us in the kingdom? What do we get for it? Pride. So let's take just a minute. Can you imagine how that would have been translated into his marriage? Hey, I just put the horse up or brought the mule in and is dinner ready yet? You know, hey, look, I've been working all day. What have you been doing? Can you give me another thing about Peter? He cursed and swore. Luke, we're going to see that. So let's say, for instance, his wife doesn't do something. They get into an argument and he cusses at her. I should have married somebody else. He was hot-tempered. You remember after Jesus died, he was so frustrated. He's out there with the other disciples. He says, I'm going fishing. And he goes off to go fishing. Can you imagine dealing with his wife? I'm tired of dealing with you. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go out with Peter. I'm going to go out with James and John. Peter had a lot of flaws. Remember the transfiguration? He kept putting his foot in his mouth. Hey, we'll build booths, Lord. And then all of a sudden, he sees the Holy Spirit and God the Father and the Son. He said, we'll build booths for everybody. And then God says, this is my Son. And everybody falls on their face. And Peter said, I wish they hadn't have said that. He was brash. Do you remember the time whenever he looked at Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to have to die for you. And he says, oh, wait a minute. No, you're not. We need you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. I don't know how much lower you can get than that. Can you imagine his wife going down the store? Oh, no, you're not. We don't have the money for that. No, you're not. The way he talked with her. Peter has all these flaws. And Jesus said, come follow me. Now there is hope for all of us. Jesus heals his mother-in-law and he still has all these flaws. I noticed he was arrogant. He had a filthy mouth. He was hot-tempered. He was self-serving. What's in it for me? We've done this for you, Lord. When we get to heaven, what's going to happen? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They asked that question. To rebuke the Son of God is beyond my comprehension. But can you imagine his poor wife, how he treated her? If rebuked and chastised the King of Kings. He must have treated her awful. Because men don't change from what they are publicly, and then all of a sudden they become perfect at home. So we'll take just a minute. Women are the same way. If a woman is arrogant and mean-spirited and she's going to be that way at home. Oh, it's going to be worse. So how do we fix the flaws? Well, there has to be some cataclysmic event that happens in our life. We got to see ourselves. If you have your Bible, turn over to Luke, if you would. I want you to see, try to find the correct verse. Now look at Luke 26. Luke 26. Matthew 26. If you can find Luke 26, you got the wrong Bible. Matthew 26. And you'll notice that in this passage, something happens. In verse number 72 of Luke 26, and again he denied with an oath. Now you remember, he's been following afar off. He's not close to Christ. He wants to be close enough to Christ that he can see what's going on, but not close enough to Christ to be named as a Christian. And so he denies in verse 70. He denies again in 72. And then in verse 73, and while came unto him they that stood by and said, Peter, surely thou art one of them. He has to figure out something that he doesn't get connected to Jesus Christ. Surely thou art one of them, verse 73, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Your speech tells the truth. You haven't said anything negative. All the guys around here were telling jokes around the fire. There's cursing and dirty jokes going on. And your speech, you're not a part of that. You've got to be one of those Christians. Verse number 74. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. So he loses his temper with these people and said, I tell you, I'm not a Christian. And he begins to curse and swear. So he loses his temper. And he goes back to where he was as an old sailor and uses his filthy words. And then he looks over in Luke 22 and the Lord Jesus catches his eye. In verse 75, the last phrase, and he went out and wept bitterly. Listen to this verse. Luke 22, verse 60. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew in verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord in verse 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The synoptic gospels, Matthew and Luke, both record Peter went out and just poured his heart out. He saw himself. Nobody changes till they see themselves. The prodigal son, when he came to himself. Now, all of us see ourselves as pretty good. That's our human nature. We have to do this. We have to want to change our flaws. And you may say, well, I don't know if I have any flaws. Peter. When we get to heaven and all we've done for you, who's going to be the greatest? That's before he went out and wept bitterly. Every one of us have got to see ourselves. Step one. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Now, I'm going to take just a minute. 3 W's very easily. Want to change. Number one, you got to want to change. You may not know how. You may not see your flaws, but you got to want to change. You must have a desire to change. Now, keep your finger in Psalm 139 and turn over to Philippians, to Colossians chapter number three. Keep your finger in Psalms and turn back to Colossians chapter number three. And notice this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, he says, seek those things which are above. You and I have to want that. We have to want to be like Christ above. We have to want to have his image. We've got to desire it with all of our heart. Number two, we've got to determine to change. Notice if you, what he says, verse 2, set your affection, set your love on things above. Seek those things above and set your love on. Put your heart into it. And then verse 4, notice what he says at verse number 3. He says, for ye are dead. And we're not there yet. What things in our life have to die? Pride needs to die. Arrogance needs to die. Filthy language needs to die. Putting our foot in our mouth needs to die. We need to be wise with our lips. Notice, if you would, we've got to have a desperation to change. No desperation comes until we see ourselves. Colossians 3:23 in this same passage. Notice Colossians 3, verse 1, seek those things which are above. Number 2, verse 2, set your affection. Number 3, die. You got to find those things. And notice, if you would, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. The things that are earthly in your life, you've got to crucify them. You've got to get rid of them. They have to die. Okay, so take out a sheet of paper and list in your mind the 3 worst flaws of you in your marriage, in the workplace, in your relationships. What are they? You have to identify them. Now, let's go back over to Psalm 139. If you say, Pastor, I don't really see what things, I know I'm not perfect. Okay, identify what keeps you from being perfect. Perfect in Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. What things keep you from being a well-rounded, mature Christian? What things make you like Peter at AD 30 and like Peter at AD 60? When Jesus said, I'm looking for somebody to write a chapter on marriage. Who would I get? I know. Peter, put it in chapter 3, Peter. How did Peter go from this arrogant, filthy mouth, short-tempered, selfish husband to what we're going to see in chapter 3 of 1 Peter that God inspired him to write. How? One, notice if you would Psalm 139, verse 23. David had a cataclysmic event in his life. Don't know exactly, you know, when it happened. Maybe it was when his wife was taken, his children were taken, and the people were fixing to stone him. But verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, would you look at me?" Now, there's two things I want you to write down in your notes, or you write down in your mind, three things that you need to change that you have flaws. Name your three flaws that you know of. And say, "Lord, this is my list. And Lord, dear Holy Spirit, I want you to search me. As I read through Scripture, you point out to me the rest of them." Well, I'm not very thoughtful to my wife or to my husband. Or I speak to them into a disrespectful way sometimes. Well, I do lose my temper and I just stop talking. I do get angry and I just have to go outside. Every once in a while I let a bad word slip. Lord, now notice in verse 24, "and see if there be any wicked way in me." He's looking for every flaw. Now folks, look. How many have a car outside? Okay? How many of you, it's got a ding on it? You've noticed it's got something on it. Raise your hand. How many of you, it bothers you? Okay. How many of you are going to get it fixed? That is what I mean. Oh, it's just a little dent. Christians can't be like your car. If there be any wicked way in me. Do you want to be like Christ? You be a husband that your wife says, "I married the perfect guy." You'll be a wife that your husband says, "I married the perfect wife." But you can't look at yourself and say, "Oh, that ding doesn't matter. Oh, that chip doesn't matter." I am so thankful that I had an example of what Janet was like early on. She had a car and she was driving it, and a piece of bumper fell off of a truck and it came underneath her car and just ripped all everything out from underneath it, destroyed her car totally. She ran over the bumper and two or three more people behind her. And so we were talking, and I said, "Well, go get you a new car, something. Yeah, I mean, something you don't have to worry about breaking down. Used car, new car." So she goes and buys her a new car, and it's the one that's out there. It's the white Honda. And I was in the area that time. I was on vacation, and we went down to the Honda dealership, and she picked it all out, and she said, "Boy, I just like that car." So she bought that car. I think it was 3 weeks later with the little dog, a month. She parked it in the car, in the garage. It's less than a month old. And she enclosed the neighbor's dog in the car. I mean, in the garage. The next morning she goes in and raises the garage door and the dog goes out. What's he doing there? He did $5,000 worth of damage to her car. He jumped on top of it. Clawed it around, clawed the windshields, clawed the paint. But it ran perfectly. And it wasn't that bad. There were not many claw marks all the way through to the paint. But she took that car down and said, "Please, fix it back new. So they replaced the, and that car's got that hologram in the windshield that tells you how fast you're going. And you know what I'm talking about? I don't know how many kajillion dollars that windshield cost. But it had some scratches. And I said, oh, you got to fix that. Oh, can you fix that piece of trim right there? So she goes, she said, do you think I ought to tell them everything? I said, yes, everything. So she fixed everything. Now, I think there are a couple of scratches that she sees that I haven't seen yet. But I said, you know what? She, you know, she may have to pay the deductible, but I'm glad she wants it back right. That told me something about her. That perhaps when we got married, she wouldn't leave the dings in her life. If the car was important to her. If this was important to her. If that was important to her. And you know what I found out? I found out I was right. She wants to do everything right. I am so happy with her. So you know what? I got to up my game now. Okay, now what things have I got to do? What things? I got to, Lord, help me, show me. What I'm trying to say to you is that all of us in this room, if we want our marriages to be right and better than they've ever been, then we've got to be changed into His image. And the first thing is you've got to come to yourself and say, Lord, I may not see it, but would you help me see it? Make your list. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore the deeds of your life. And notice, if you would, go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. And notice what he says. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. And he lists several different things there. Look down in verse 8. But now put you off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication, lie not. How many dings are you willing to tolerate? Are you tolerating a little lie? Oh, that's just a little thing. And everybody in this room, we know that everything's not perfect, but your Christian life is supposed to be perfect. You don't tolerate anything. You don't accept any scratch. Because instead of taking the car down to the dealership and saying, there's a little ding here from a rock, a little ding here from a rock, and there's a door ding right here. Could you fix that and it cost you $1,000 or $1,500? I just live with that. There is no ding in the Christian life that you can afford to say, oh, I just let one word slip. Among the millions, I say, that one's okay. No, it's not. You want to be, if you want to be changed into His image, the wife God wants you to be. And you can't accept any dings. I can't accept any dings. But I have to be desperate enough to say, Lord, it's got to break my heart. Don't let something happen that breaks your heart to bring you to the point. Let the Holy Spirit begin to work in your heart and say, oh, I don't want that anymore, Lord. The way I spoke to her, the way I spoke to him, the way I looked at her. Lord, help me never to do that again. Lord, will you show me any wicked way, anything that is not in your image? That's step one. Are you willing to do that? And now, number two, you've got to work to repair them. You've got to want to fix it. That's number one. And that's the hardest part for most people. They don't see it. They desire it somewhat, but they don't desire to be like Christ. Hence, we all become a little bit hypocritical. Everybody's hypocritical until you get to the point where you say, any wicked way. That's not most of the Christians I know. You got to be desperate. I want to be like Hun Bishop. Hun Bishop was a Sunday school teacher 40 years ago. She's in heaven. She had the perfect yard, the most perfect grass yard I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was perfect. Because she got on her hands and knees in the front yard and pulled every weed out. And she watched it every week. That is the work required to be perfect in His sight. And most people don't want to go that far. David did. And that's why God said, I found a man after my own heart. Folks, how good a Christian do you want to be? How good a marriage do you want to have? Lord, I want to have the best one that you can possibly help us have. I want it to be perfect in your sight. I'm not necessarily worried about everybody else, but I'm worried about you, Lord. Search me, O God, any wicked way. And then notice what he says. Look in that same verse 24. And lead me in the way. Lord, I'll follow your guide. Now, you've got to work at it. You've got to want it with all of your heart. One, let me give you the list of how to work on these things. Number one, allow the Holy Spirit to convict your heart about it. Allow him. Say, Lord, I want you to convict my heart. If I don't see it, I want you to convict my heart. Allow the Holy Spirit's conviction. Number two, apologize and ask for forgiveness every time you see it. Every time the Holy Spirit points it out, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize to you first and then to the person it happened with. Lord, I'm allowing you to point it out. Oh, I didn't mean that. Please forgive me. Number three, you have to apply Scripture to each flaw. So that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Apologize each time it happens. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the person to forgive you. And then apply Scripture. Quote the Scripture. But I say unto you, every evil word that men shall speak, they should give account throughout the day of judgment. Lord, I don't want to give an account for one word from this day forward. Please help me. Lord, I know that's an ambitious goal, but you help me, Lord. I'll apologize and greet them all. I want to be like you. I want to treat my wife perfectly, Lord. I want to treat my husband perfectly, Lord. I want to treat my parents perfectly, Lord. I want to treat my coworkers perfectly, Lord. Will you help me? How many of you are that desperate? That's the difference between perfection. According to Matthew 5, take your Bible and turn here. Matthew 5, and notice this. Just so you see it's possible. I didn't make it up. Notice what you see, Matthew chapter 5, and verse number 48. Be ye therefore perfect, mature, without flaw, that's acceptable dings. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And tonight, could I tell you this? Have your Bible turned to Philippians chapter 4. Don't you see this verse? You say, but Pastor, everybody's got flaws. Yep. The difference is, what do they do about them? Pastor, every car's got dings. Yep. What do they do about it? Life is not like your car. You're willing to accept some things because the trouble of taking it to the shop, getting a rent car, and all that difficulty and the money is not worth the little ding that's there, or the little this, or the little that. I understand that. But that's not the Christian life. Don't allow it. Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It'll make the sweetest marriage on the face of the earth if you'll allow it. Holy Spirit, convict me. I give you permission. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I see it. I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. Lord, help me memorize the Scriptures. Every idle word. I shouldn't have said that word, Lord. I'm sorry. And then it gets down to the point where, as you think things, somebody, how many of you ever had somebody say something to you and you didn't say a word, you just went, ever done that? Your brother says something to your sister. You didn't have to say a word. You said it all with this. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, that was the wrong thought I had toward my sister. Would you help me, Lord? Hey, sis, I'm sorry. Hey, honey, sorry, I had the wrong thought. Do you know how that'll change our marriages? Do you know how that'll change the workplace around you? And he said, Pastor, I can't do that. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we'll close with this verse. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter. Remember, I told you that the Lord chose Peter? I can't believe the Lord chose Peter to write this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. Finally, be all of one mind with your wife, having compassion one of another. Compassion? Peter wrote that. Peter was the most compassionate man I've known in Scripture. Something changed him. Compassion one another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering, railing for evil for evil. Peter cut off Malchus's ear. He tried to cut off his head because he touched Jesus. But contrarywise, blessing. That's Peter wrote that. Knowing that you are thereunto called. It is your calling. Like God called me to change, He's called you to change. That you should inherit a blessing. Peter must have had one of the sweetest marriages on the face of the earth because the Lord let him write this. But he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no deceit, no payback. Let him eschew evil. Let him run from evil. That wasn't Peter. And do good. That wasn't Peter. And let him seek peace. That wasn't Peter. And ensue it. Be desperate for it. For the eyes of the Lord are in every place. That was his motivation. The Lord's always watching us. And you'll notice he says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now you do know I skipped the passage that wives submit yourselves to your husband. Husbands, look here. Look if you would, verse number 7. Peter wrote this. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. God made them weaker. He made them more tender. Giving honor unto the wife. Peter wrote that? As unto the weaker vessel. Peter wrote that. He recognized that as being heirs together of the grace of life. Peter wrote that. The arrogant one. The one that said, what's in it for us when we get to heaven? That your prayers be not hindered. In this passage, there are two motivations that Peter realized. I want the Lord to hear my prayers and to know He's watching me. I have every reason in the world to change and be like Him. Peter did. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do it. The question is, do we want to? Will we work at it? And if we do those two things, we'll win. Tonight, I can do all things through Christ. How many dings are you willing to accept? Let's bow our heads for the prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Brandon to lead us in page 353. Search me, O God, if you need to come tonight. Could I plead with you? Throw your arms up. Humble yourself and say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way with me. I don't care if you've been married 1 year or if you've been married 50 years or 70 years. Look, we can all get better. Be you therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Don't accept any dings. It's hard work. I'll allow conviction. Lord, I want you to show me. Two, I'll apologize. I'll ask for forgiveness. Three, man, I'll apply scripture so it doesn't happen again. Build good habits. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts tonight. Give us some of the sweetest marriages on earth so that our young people, our grandchildren, can see Christ in us and the joy that serving Him brings. In your name I pray. Amen.